Good morning and welcome. 192 in your songbooks. Let's stand as we sing it together. One day. We'll sing the first, the second, the third, and the last of number 192. One day when heaven was filled with his praise. One day when sin was as black as could be. Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin. Dwelt among men, my example is he. Living he loved me, dying he saved me. My sins far away, rising he justified, freely for. We can't leave him in the grave, amen. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day.
That's going to be one day he will come. One day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to take us home. And we've got something to look forward to, don't we? No matter what happens down here, remember this. We know the last chapter. We know the last period in the history of mankind on this earth. And one day we'll be with the Lord Jesus. What a beautiful song. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, as we come to you now, we thank you so much for the fact that we've got a guarantee of one day our Savior coming back. taking us home. But Lord, we've got a job to do, and we know this, Father, that this world needs our Savior. And I pray, Father, that he will be exalted in every aspect of our lives, that we would learn to love him more each day, and that through that learning, we'd be doing, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Oh, God, help us to love you more. Help us to be a greater testimony the older we get. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Ushers, if you'd go ahead and make your way down to the front, we want to welcome any first-time guests to Grace Baptist Church. If this is your first time, if you'd raise your hand briefly, these men are going to put some information in your hands, and inside this little packet, there'll be a visitor card. If you could do us a big favor, fill that out, and then we'll pass an offering plate here later on in the service. You can place that in the offering plate, and hopefully they'll give us an opportunity to be able to connect with you. If you have a bulletin, go ahead and pull those out this morning. We have it a little easier this week. Our verse for the week is just a verse rather than verses, 1 John 1:7. Tells us, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Here's the thing, if you've never been confronted by your sin, if you've never received Jesus Christ's payment on the cross, you've never received the gift of eternal life. And until you've received that, and as you continue in that, that's when true fellowship, koinonia, takes place amongst believers. So here's a lot of things we can talk about. We always get together with those that maybe are a little more like-minded than others, same interests, you know, enjoy a particular sports team, particular sport for that matter, maybe enjoy a certain aspect when it comes to food, has some of the same interests, and that's good. But do you truly have fellowship? Which only comes from having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Is he the center focus of every conversation that you have? So just keep that in mind. We're going to say the reference, the verse, and then the reference as a congregation. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. Just a few things to point out real quick. Don't forget, this is the last week to sign up. If you want to be a part of early bird registration for both camps, teens are going down to Pensacola. They have Teen Extreme, and that ends on February 2nd for early bird registration. If you have kids, that actually ends on February 1st. So this coming Saturday or this coming weekend, you need to register this week if you want to save that additional, I think it's $35 for the wilds and roughly $20-$25 for the Teen Extreme. So if you have any intention in going on that, make sure you sign up so we know about it. You'll register online for each of those camps respectively. Make sure you associate yourself with Grace Baptist Church so we keep all the kids together as a group. But if you would sign up this week for that, I know that'll be a financial help to you and help us in the meantime. Also, don't forget next week, Retirement Celebration Sunday. Just telling Pastor, it's got to be a bittersweet moment. 45 years in the pastorate ministry, not just ministry, but in the pastorate. And this is his last Sunday morning service with us. Next week, we're going to have a service, and Brian Sams is going to be with us preaching that morning service. We're not going to have Sunday school. No Sunday school next week, 10:30 a.m. right here in the auditorium. We'll have our morning service. We'll dismiss, go over to the gym for a luncheon. If you could bring a salad, a side, as well as a dessert with the intention to share, that'll help us out tremendously. The church is going to provide the meat and the drinks. But make sure you come out to that. We'll have an afternoon service over there. Pastor Brian Sams coming up from Florida will preach that afternoon service as well. So there will be no evening service next week. So note those adjustments. But other than that, we'll continue on. And as Brother Ed Earwood mentioned in last week's business meeting, yes, we will have church on February 9th. So we hope to see you there back to our normal registration. Also, today is the last Sunday, as well as this week. We'd prefer it today. If you'd like to give a love offering, a donation, just something to show your appreciation for Pastor and Vicky's. How long have you been here, Pastor? 12 years. 12 years here at Grace Baptist Church. If you could get one of those pink envelopes out of the back of the pew, just write for Pastor's Retirement on that, and then put that in the offering plate. We'd greatly appreciate it. Pastor Dave, I think this next one probably has some instruction with it based on what's in our bulletin.
Yes.
This is one of our favorites, God of Heaven. But I know some of the lyrics sometimes are hard to grab a hold of. So we took the opportunity to put it in the bulletin as an insert. If you take that insert out, you'll see God of Heaven. And you can follow right along with the words, and you can sing them in your hearts as we sing them out to you, God of Heaven. God of Heaven. What a wonderful thought. I hope you enjoyed those lyrics. We'll try to include those a little bit more on some of those when there's lots of words and you don't know them well. It's nice to have them in front of you. Amen. for that. Let's stand. We're going to sing together. It's No Longer I Who Liveth, But Christ Who Liveth In Me. Young people are being dismissed, 4 years old through the sixth grade, headed up the Victory Choir. Choir and orchestra are going to come join us.
It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. In me, in me, Jesus is alive in me. It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me.
Amen. Turn around and greet someone. Let's sing it again together. It's no longer I.
It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. In me, in me, Jesus is alive in me. It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me.
Oh, there he is. He was hiding. I kept looking everywhere. I was like, where could he be? Don't run. I don't want you out of breath. You're almost 70. You are 70. Yeah, so do you need to take a breath? I'm just kidding. Isn't he awesome?
Let's pray. Father, we count it a joy. And Lord, amongst all these people are just so many dear friends, Lord. We just thank you for, Lord, how you've blessed us and how you've blessed this church. And I pray, Father, that every one of us would continue on as strongly as possible, Lord, even in a greater way for your glory, so that when you do come, and Lord, we can't help but to think that that coming is soon. We don't know, but we know we should be ready. Pray that you'll be with Brother Carl as he goes in for a surgery this coming Monday, Lord. I pray that you'll guide the surgeon, Lord, as he works on Brother Carl's eye. Thank you, Lord, for his testimony. And for Ella as well. We know, Father, that you watch over us.
Amen.
We love you. Now bless this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Kirsten and Diana for that. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane that I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. What a thought, what a thought. Number 204 in your songbooks, Christ Returneth. Let's stand as we sing a couple stanzas. Number 204, Christ Returneth.
It may be at morn when the day is away. When sunlight through darkness and shadow is breaking, that Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from the world his own. O Lord Jesus, how long ere we shout the glad song, Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen.
On the last, oh joy, oh delight, should we go without dying, no sickness, no sadness, no dread.
Yeah. darkness Jesus found me, touched mine eyes and made me see, broke sin's chains that long had bound me, gave me life and liberty. O glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, that made him stoop to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and then in heaven above, my song will silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love. Amazing truth to ponder, he whom angels host attend.
Lord of heaven, God's Son, what wonder, he became the sinner's friend.
O glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, that made him stoop to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and then in heaven above, my song will silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love. My song will silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love.
And praise him for his glorious love.
And praise him for his glorious
love. First time my wife and I heard that song, there's a group called the Hawaiians, and they have some of the absolute most beautiful voices. And when we moved into a house, one of the only pieces of furniture we had, the first piece of furniture we had was, you remember those big old record players, you know, boomed out, you know, you had, you know, those things, big round things. A lot of you don't know what those things are. But what we did is we took our beds. I don't know if we did. We may have slept on the floor. But we cranked that thing up and put the Hawaiians on, and they sing this song like no one else sings it, "O Glorious Love." But it just touches our, what a glorious love. What a great, glorious Savior. And that's in the parting message. You know, I know we've been hitting in faith, and the most important thing about faith is it must be placed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But my heart has just been focusing on the Gospel of John chapter 1, so that if you'd turn there, please. And I'd like this last Sunday morning message, at least for now, who knows, they may invite me back every once in a while to speak. So may not be the last, but it's my last as a senior pastor here. And I just like to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the reason for everything, not just reason for the season. He's the reason for everything. And the Gospel of John was written years after the first three Gospels. And so you say, why do we have three narratives? The beauty of that is God, through his word, used the personality of man. And it is interesting that each one of the gospel, according to the particular person, has a special touch. The Gospel of Luke, of course, Luke was a physician. And he gives the most glorious picture the Last Supper, and the Lord Jesus Christ going out, and only a physician could have said this, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. A physician would say that. That's not found in the other Gospels, but only in the Gospel of Luke. John is unique in that there was a growing sense that Jesus Christ was just a human being that grew close to the Lord, and Gnosticism was a picture of basically if you'd picture a ladder. And you started out on the bottom rung, and you worked your way on the ladder up until you were God. There's been a lot of confusion, especially in the New Age movement, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Are you not gods?" And with a small g, not a big g. We're sons of God by adoption. But we are not God. And so the Gospel of John was written to refute Gnosticism. And that was, Jesus Christ was not just a man. And there are still those individuals that have a somewhat hold, or they cling to the fact that Jesus Christ was just a man, a superman, but just a man. Mormonism believes that Jesus Christ was not God. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus Christ was not God. And I'm glad that the Word of God makes it clear. He that confesseth not that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has come in the flesh, is Antichrist. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is not just a good man, a heavenly representative, but he is God. And so in verse 1, let's all stand if we could, and we are going to read verses 1 through 5. Actually, 1 through 11 is the foundation, or 1 through 17 actually, is just a focus on Jesus Christ. And I'll read if you'll just simply follow along with me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Let's pray. Father, I am so thankful that in these first five verses we find three key aspects of who Jesus Christ was, is, and ever will be. This morning, Father, I pray that you lift up your Son. If there's one person here that doesn't know Christ today, oh Lord, help them to realize that life is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. Therefore, each one of us ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall do this or that. Oh God, save any lost soul here today, and then, Lord, for all of us, help us, Lord, to just take another moment to just lift him up in our own hearts. We're here today because of what Jesus did. We thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for salvation, for the abundant life, for the illumination, the understanding that we have to receive the truth, to even know the truth. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The three things I'd like to focus on is this, and that is, Christ is the Logos, Christ is the life, and Christ is the light. And this, again, this first chapter is a total refutation of the idea that Christ was merely a man. He was born supernaturally, but he was just a man. Not just a man that was endued with the Holy Spirit like John was. When John was in the womb, the Word of God says that the babe leaped within the womb, which is pretty interesting because I think it's another strong proof of the fact that when a child is in the womb, it's a life. Isn't it interesting that John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit of God before he ever came from the womb? And I believe personally that John the Baptist, I believe that John lived his whole life under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. Though he, like all of us, was an imperfect individual, and there was a time when he was in prison and a little bit discouraged, and he sent messages, "Are you the Messiah?" He should have known that, because Jesus was his cousin, according to, you know, the flesh, so to speak. Not that Jesus Christ had Joseph as a father. And so he should have known that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. But in his discouragement, he sent. And so we know this, that Jesus Christ was different from all, and he was the Logos. And there's a number of things that were said about him. The first thing was this. One author said this, and it just really, I have never forgotten. And that was this: everything that ever God ever wanted to say to us, he said through the coming of his Son. Everything that God wanted to say to us without saying it, God said through sending his Son. Just his Son coming was the voice of God. And I think it's almost identical to the idea that we find in Psalm chapter 19, where the Word of God says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice," and that is the voice of creation, "is heard. Their line is gone throughout the whole earth, and their words unto the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of the chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from one end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." And then it goes in, and Spurgeon said this: there are two laws as far as the creation of God is concerned. It is that which he has created, but as well the Word of God. And that's why he enters into seventh verse, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and also than honey and the honeycomb." Everything that what God wanted to say, he said by the very coming of the incarnate Son. That is essentially said, "For God so loved the world that he gave." And that giving was the sending of his Son from glory to earth to dwell in human flesh and to spend his 33 years in the flesh, living on this sin-cursed world, and realizing his whole ministry was a ministry of love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so God said everything that he wanted to say to us through the sending of his son. There's no greater way he could have ever said, I love you. No greater way. And then the Lord Jesus Christ himself, when he said, greater love hath no man than this, than a man surrender himself to death or die for his friends. And it was an admonition to us and what true friendship is. A true friendship is you're willing to die for somebody. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I call you not just servants in that 15th chapter of John. But what he was saying is this, and that is, you're not just my servants, you're my friends. You're my friends. And because you're my friends, this is how much I think of our friendship. I'm going to give my life for you. There's no greater. Hey, listen, not just that he gave his life, but you realize that in the giving of his life sprang forth salvation for every one of us. He didn't just surrender it so that we could continue to live on this earth. He surrendered his life so that we could live eternally. Amazing love. How can it be that my Savior, Jesus Christ, gave his life for me? Amazing love. And so Christ is the Logos, the incarnate Word. He was. And that's an important phrase as I was reading through Barnes' commentary. He said that little word was, and that's why I emphasized it at the beginning. And so that little verb right there is saying this. He always was. He had no beginning. This was a perfect word that was to be used. I remember another author that I was reading said this, John is unique and powerful in what he says. And sometimes what you can do is John gives a phrase or an idea, but it basically has several ideas involved. And it is uniquely found. And the author said that we could say we could not say that it was found just only in the first epistle or in the Gospel of John chapter 1. But he says what happens is John, though it is one of the simplest epistles written in the simplest languages, it is the most profound because it has a simple idea and yet it has a profound idea as well. Simple and profound, both wrapped together and give the most beautiful, accurate picture of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so everything God wanted to say, he said through his coming, and then Christ was and is and ever shall be the living Word. And then the Father's words are spoken to each one of us through the ambassador of heaven, Jesus Christ. When he came to this earth, he was in absolute perfect subjection to the Father. Everything that he said, the Father approved. He both taught him what to say, and Jesus Christ said exactly what the Father wanted him to say. In John 8:28, the Word of God says, and Jesus said unto them, when ye lift up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things as an ambassador. In John 12:49, the Lord Jesus Christ said, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. That's what an ambassador does. An ambassador takes the word of the king or the president or the high figure and delivers a message to others that are the exact words, the heart
And a good ambassador gives not only the words, but actually the feelings, the expression of the Father as well. And that's exactly what Christ said. Listen, everything that the Father has told, my Father has told me, he's commanded me to say, he's taught me to say, I teach you. He was coached by the Father. My Father taught me, I speak these things. The Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. The Father's words were spoken by the ambassador of heaven, Jesus Christ. His words were the Father's words. And so everything that God wanted to say through his coming was said by the coming of his Son. And Christ was and is and ever shall be the living Word. And the Father's words were spoken through the ambassador of heaven, Jesus Christ. And finally, not only that, but he spoke the Word. There was power in his Word. He brought all things into existence through his Word. John 1:1-2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. When the Word of God says in Genesis 1 throughout the chapter, and God said, let there be light. And as he spoke creation into existence, imagine this. Christ, through the power of his very words, spoke all that is. When it speaks of God, yes, you're speaking about the Trinity's involvement too. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. They all were so intimately involved. You can't extract anyone or say anyone has less importance as far as creation is concerned. But when the Word of God says all things were made by him, and without anything, without him was not anything made that was made, it's not merely that God created all things, but according to the Word of God, consistency says it was the very Savior of all mankind, Jesus Christ, who spoke everything into existence. That word ex nihilo, and the idea is this, and that is, when he spoke, something that was nothing became something. Ex nihilo, out of nothing. So it's not that Jesus Christ spoke existing things into existence. It's that Christ spoke and their existence came. You talk about the magnitude of that power. It's unimaginable. You know something? There's a lot of people that do not understand God. And by the way, I don't understand. Do you? Do you understand the ways of God? For as heaven is higher than earth, so is his thoughts higher than our thoughts, and his words than our words, our ways. His ways, our ways. He brought all things into existence through his very word. Number two, he sustains, as speaking the word, he sustains all things by the word of his power. He created and he keeps things going. In Hebrews 1:3, the word of God says, who being in the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person and upholding all things, or sustaining all things, by the word of his power, when he laid by himself, purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He upholds all things. Hey, listen, I'm not worried about climate change. When God is done with this earth, he's done with it, and no one could do anything until he does it. By the way, I do believe there's going to be a climate change, but you know when that climate change is going to take place? It's during the tribulation, and I'm not going to be here for those extra hot days. It's going to scorch the flesh of men. You talk about hot. The Word of God says in the tribulation period, the world, and we know this, it is interesting that for those that believe in joint of a gap theory and things like this, when we travel to the moon and that little pod set down and we begin to take scoops of the substance that was on the moon and they brought it back, guess what they found out? According to their predictions, the moon was going to be exceedingly old because the layers of dust upon the moon would be so much they would have millions and millions and billions of years of basically stacking or dust covering the moon. They found out that there is a very thin layer, and so another proof of existence that, guess what? The Earth is relatively young. 6,000-7,000 years old. God's Word is true. And so one day, God is going to say, okay, I don't know how he's going to do it. And we all these scientific things, basically the magnetic core of the center of the Earth that keeps everything in its place. This magnetic core is weakening. It keeps everything in its place. And one day, it draws closer to the sun, who has a stronger magnetic force, and everything's consumed. And this earth was never intended to be eternal. Well, in its origin, yes. But when Adam and Eve sinned, not only were Adam and Eve cursed, but all of creation was cursed. The ground was cursed. The animals were cursed. Everything that God created began to die. And so the Lord Jesus Christ sustains things, all things by the word of his power. He keeps things going. He keeps the earth and the sun in their exact positions, so that we do not slide, we do not get closer to the earth than what we should. You know, that's a magnificent, they can't explain that. And the only way that you can explain it is through a creator that's overseeing and sustaining and upholding that which he's created. He brought all the things into existence by his word. And God said he sustains all things by the word of his power, upholding all things by the word of his power. And he controls all things by the word of his power. Mark 4:39 says this, and the same story. I'm going to read two verses in verse 39 and 41. And in verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then in verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey his voice? And then I started thinking about all the other things where the Lord Jesus Christ performed many miracles through what he said. He spoke, and the leper was healed. He spoke, and the demon was cast out. He spoke, and the lame man leaped. He spoke, and the demon-possessed man was freed. And whatever he spoke, it came true. It was a reality. So first of all, Christ is the Logos. Secondly, Christ is the life. Christ is the life. He is the essence of life as far as creative existence, Genesis 1. In John 3:16, he is the life in the sense of spiritual existence. Not only of creative existence, he brings everything to life, but he is the one that brings all spiritual life, which is eternal life. And life in the sense a fullness of joy in this human existence. In Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Jesus Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. A life that is meaningful. And I see three things as far as the major aspect of Christ's life is concerned. It was a sacrificial life, leaving the perfection of heaven and becoming flesh in a sin-cursed world. I often said this, I tell you what, don't pray a Lazarus prayer for me. Don't pray a Lazarus prayer for me. Because when I get to heaven, I don't want to come back down here. Amen? When I get there, I'm going to be in perfection. John 11:35, when the Lord, Word of God says Jesus wept. I think he wept for two reasons. I think he wept as man, and I believe he wept as God. He wept as man because a dear friend was dead. He saw the heartbroken condition of Mary and Martha and those individuals that were weeping on behalf. And everybody looked at him and said, oh, how he loved him. And that's the truth, he did. But I think that he wept for another reason. I don't know. I don't think there was any argument about it, but to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. How many believe that? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If that's the case, when he died, and did he die? He died. And when he died, where did he go? To the presence of the Lord. So now, if he's in the presence of the Lord, and he has the knowledge and understanding that he did, who wants to come back down here? Lazarus, I'm not finished with you yet.
I'm finished, Lord.
No, I've got a job for you to do. I want you to prove, God the Father's speaking to Lazarus, I want you to prove, Lazarus, or help to prove, be another one of the proofs, that my son is God. And so, Jesus Christ had already told it to Mary and Martha. I'm the resurrection and life. He that believeth on me, though were he dead, yet shall he live. And so Jesus Christ resurrected Lazarus. What an amazing thing. Jesus Christ will one day come. He'll not say, Lazarus, come forth. I think he'll say, come home, children. Come home, children. He's not going to mention anybody's specific name, but I'm a child. Come on home, children. Children, come forth. Christ's life was a sacrificial life, leaving perfection of heaven to become flesh in a sin-cursed earth. His life was a serving life. He did always those things that were pleasing to the Father. Whoever is chiefest among you, let him be your servant. Never forget John 13. I've given you this example that you may serve one another, because Christ's whole life was spent in service through humanity. Whether it be feeding them, whether it be healing them, whether it be saving them, everything in his life was an aspect of his service to humanity. Everything. It was a sacrificial life. It was a serving life. And it was a satisfying life. In John 10:10, the thief cometh not forth but to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that ye may have life and that ye may have it more abundantly. And I was thinking, I read several articles this past week. Interesting, they just kind of came up on the news scene, so I tapped into it. And there was two interesting individuals. One was Aaron Rodgers. How many know who Aaron Rodgers is? He's a Green Bay Packer quarterback. Did anybody read that article about him or read that blip about him? Aaron Rodgers came from a good Christian family. Did you know that? And he's completely separate. I remember reading an article years ago how he was separated from his family. And you know why he's separated from his family? He's separated from his family because he chose to head another direction and forsook God, the God that he had been taught about all his life. And if you'll just look up Aaron Rodgers' in statement of Christianity, how that he has said some things, and the article said that his parents grieved over the fact that he said, I don't believe a true and living and beneficent God would ever send anybody to hell. He doesn't send you to hell. You sell yourself to hell. You know why? Because you've got to step over the body and blood of Christ to get in there. It's freely given to every one of us. Brad Pitt. It's interesting. It's interesting that, man, these people go through all kinds of crazy things and married a number of times. It's interesting. I don't know if Brad Pitt is saved or not. But he recently said that religion, and what does that mean? I don't know. Is a key part to my life. But he came, you know, I can't remember now, it was Kansas or Missouri. I believe it was Kansas. His parents are devout Christians. And he strayed and started to live a pretty horrific life. And went through a lot of things. But it seems like he's returning to the Lord. And I rejoice. I don't know what it means by religion and that thing, because it can be a bunch of things. Buddhist. Mormon. But you know something? I'm glad that I'm saved and that I know where I'm going. And right now, at this stage of the game, I'm so glad that the Lord has kept me and protected me. I'm so glad that the Lord has been with me. And my wife, we reflect upon the years. You know something? By being in the ministry, I've only had to work one time. And I planted two churches, but as I look back, I went back to graduate school, and my heart was leaning in this area of church planting, because there was a kind of an emphasis, and the need was so great. My heart was touched. And so I went back to graduate school to take a couple courses and to prepare and look to plant church. And while I was in graduate school, I planted a church in Woodruff, South Carolina. And you've heard some of the story. I mean, God miraculously, we worked for months, about 6 months, and no one got saved. There was no response. And the last Sunday that we went, we'd go every Sunday morning, because that was the only day that I was off. And we'd go to Woodruff, South Carolina, and going door to door, door to door, door to door. And after about 6 months, I said that Ichabod's written on this place. And so we prayed in the car that day, Lord, if we don't have any response, we're going to go to another town until I finish my graduate work, and we're going to plant a church somewhere else. It was that day, just about the last door we knocked on, a couple invited us in, and I said, would you be willing to start a Bible study here? We weren't even saved. Then trying to lead them to the Lord, I said, how would you like to have church in your home? They said, oh, that would be nice. And so we started the church right there. And we didn't know it. We thought it was husband and wife. Found out that they were just living together. Guess what? They both got saved, and he moved out until they got married. And I didn't even have to tell them that. And then they started inviting all their family members in. And we begin to see all of them saved. We had to move out of the house into a bank building that the Lord gave us for free. And so I was working then, but I worked a little bit when I said, okay, man, this is fun. I'm going to go out. I didn't ask for one nickel of support. I just said, God, I want you to show me that you want me in ministry. I went to Lawrence, Kansas. I lined up a job. Basically, that my intention was to work and, you know, be bivocational, whatever the Lord wanted to do. But I'm telling you, and you've heard this story before, but I'm telling you what, before I ever touched a foot in Lawrence, Kansas, we received a phone call. We prayed that morning as well. He said, are we supposed to go Lawrence or are we supposed to go Olathe? Both towns were good. A Jewish businessman flew us over Lawrence and Olathe. And as he flew us over Lawrence, he had his heart. He said, oh, Bill, would you just consider, this place is so needy. This is a preacher's graveyard. And so I said, I think that's where the Lord wants us. And so we went ahead and we're making plans to go there. And one morning, my wife said, are you sure it's Lawrence, Kansas? Because it was real close to her parents. And both places were. And so we said, well, let's pray. I said, if the Lord doesn't show us in 2 weeks, we'll go to Olathe. I just put it in the lap of the Lord. And I don't want my will to be the one that determines what direction. And so what happened is I left for work that morning. And just after I left, I had to be working about 5 o'clock. That morning, a professor at the Kansas University called up and said, someone had said that you're planning a church here. And I just want you to know I've been praying for 2 years that someone would plant a church here. And I have put my tithe away for 2 years waiting for you to come. Now, how many think I was a little bit excited? And so we went, and then all of a sudden we saw, I'm in here again. We again blessed. My wife and I strapped little Chet on the back, and we went and visited probably about 7,000 doors ourselves over the course of the summer. And by the end of the summer, we had about 30 people. And then that grew, and we grew into another place, and went into a school, and then God allowed us to build a building. And I'll tell you what, it's exciting to be a Christian. The Lord has always met our needs in the most desperate place, whether it be a bag of groceries on our doorstep or whether it be something given in a mailbox. A neighbor down the way that wasn't even a part of our church saw us building the house and we were laboring. I had a sweat equity loan, and that simply means this, and that is based upon the fact that you can do certain work and build your house, we're going to give you a loan. The banker happened to be in that church right there, so he gave us a sweat equity loan based upon trusting us and God during that. A man came up blocks away, saw this church. We talked to him a little bit, and all of a sudden, he came to us and put in our hand $1,000. And mind, we could go all day telling stories. 2,000? Oh, okay, excuse me. I'd rather be under than over. It's an abundant life. It's a good life. He is the Logos. He's the life, and he's the light. It all happened because one day in Hebrews chapter 10, we are illuminated. And what God did is he revealed to us that he was real. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He's the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And I want you to know that everything that is worthwhile, both now and forever, is found through one person, Jesus Christ. Do you know him as your personal Savior? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. I'm going to say today, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if anything were to happen to me and I were to leave this world through death, I know that I'd be in the presence of the Lord. I know that I'm saved. And you can give testimony to that fact. Would you raise your hand as a testimony to that? Amen. Don't ever get tired of raising that hand. It's saying, thank you, Jesus. Is there anyone here that would say, to be honest, I don't know? Or it could be you just say, I know that I'm not. And I need the Lord. Pray for me. Would you just raise your hand just for a moment? Allow me to see it. Is there any? And then, Christian, can I challenge you, along with myself, to live a life that is pleasing to the one that has done more for us than anyone ever could? Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. And I pray this morning that if one thing takes place, it will cause us to reflect upon how great and how wonderful our Savior is and how blessed we are. Everyone standing your feet at this time. 562 in your hymn books, just as I am. If you're not saved, you didn't raise your hand, but you don't know for sure, we have men and women that are willing to show you and would delight in showing you how you could be saved. And I'm telling you what, there's not a man or woman in this room, unless they're not walking with the Lord as they should, that doesn't say it's the best life. I'd never do anything to change it. I'd make it better by being closer to the Lord. But they've never regretted it. And you won't either if you come today. And then for every believer, oh, may this year be a year of great dedication. Tonight, I'm asking you to be back tonight. Tonight, I'm going to be looking over. It's my kind of my last challenge and encouragement to you as far as what I see in the future. And as far some of the great challenges we have in the future and how we can basically be settled in to do the job for the Lord that we need to do. But this morning, if you need to draw close to the Lord, we invite you as well. As we sing this invitation, as the Lord has dealt with your heart, we open up the door for you to come at this time. Would you come as we sing?
Just as I am, but without one plea, but then
God bless you. I'm going to ask Matt, would you please come and close the service with a word of prayer? We're going to have a couple more opportunities to say this, but my wife and I cannot thank you enough. I mean, it has been a blessing. I'm telling you what, God's going to reward you folks for being such an encouragement. In this room are so many friends, not just acquaintances. But thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your love, your support. And I believe God will richly bless you. And I do the same for the next pastor. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Amen? Continue to do the same thing. And let's pray in the days ahead that the greatest days of Grace Baptist Church are in the future. Amen? That should be our prayer. That should be our desire. And if so, then maybe God will give it to us. What do you think, Matt? He can do it, can't he?
Amen. Do remind you that next week there is no Sunday school. The service will be at 10:30, so please meet here in the auditorium for a celebration of Pastor's retirement for a faithful servant of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for today. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. And Lord, we thank you for your provision. Lord, you have been so faithful to this church. Lord, you've been so faithful to Pastor and Mrs. Egredal. Lord, thank you for them. Thank you for their testimony to this church. Thank you for their sacrifice, Lord. And thank you for the leadership that they have provided. Lord, we pray that you would bless them as they move into another stage of life. Lord, they're not getting out of service, Lord. They're just changing venues. And Lord, we pray that you would just honor and glorify them, Lord, and just that you would be honored and glorified. Lord, we thank you and praise you. Keep us safe as we go to our homes, Lord. In your name, amen.